number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue through the night tonight, looking ahead to the NFL playoffs and honoring Glenn Frey of the Eagles, who passed away on Monday. As we've been saying every hour, it's just been a sad time so far for celebrity deaths. David Bowie, Lemmy from Motorhead, Natalie Cole, Alan Rickman, the actor. I know I'm missing some, and I don't want to miss any and disrespect anyone. Celine Dion, she lost her husband and brother to throat cancer in 2 days. Ay, ay, ay. So, but the Eagles are an impact band for a lot of people, so we definitely want to acknowledge Glenn Frey and his passing from Monday. 800-777-2907. We've been talking NFL. We have also been talking NBA tonight as LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers laid an egg against the Golden State Warriors, who just really wanted to beat Cleveland. Now, before the game, I guess Steph Curry made a comment about the last time he was at Quicken Loans Arena, and he hoped that it still smelled like champagne, which apparently angered the Cleveland Cavaliers. Apparently if you anger the Cleveland Cavaliers, they come out and can't score and can't do anything effective, and you beat them by 38 points or whatever it was. Apparently that's how they're like, you don't make me angry or I'll lose by 50 the next time you come here. Apparently that's the motivation that Cleveland needed. I'll actually miss more shots the next time you come here and disrespect this place.
I loved that response by Steph Curry. That was awesome.
Great stuff.
I mean, you don't hear that ever. Like, no. I hope it smells like champagne.
Hope it still smells like champagne. In case you don't know what that reference is, Cleveland, that was us celebrating a championship in your lockers.
That's just like twisting the knife. Ugh. Just twisting. Oh, I love it.
It's great. Good for Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Good for the whole
Cavs.
Good for the whole Warriors team for just laying the hammer down on the Cleveland Cavaliers, who didn't even belong on the same court.
You know, you know what's my favorite thing about looking at the Cavs and the Warriors? Draymond Green, Tristan Thompson got the exact same deal. Look at those two players.
Oh, I know.
One is a good third big man, and Tristan Thompson can rebound the ball pretty well. Doesn't do much else for you. Draymond Green's a legitimate MVP candidate.
Corey, yeah, absolutely he is. Absolutely he is. He might be one of the top three players in the league.
Right.
And Cleveland. Ugh. And this saddens me because I do want to see them win a title. They ain't going to win it with the Browns.
No.
The Indians are probably not going to win it.
Doubtful.
And the Cavaliers was that city's best chance. And LeBron is just... How strange is this that... Because here's the other thing. Like, LeBron goes to Cleveland and you start hearing the rumors about Kevin Love, right? And you start thinking, oh my God, he's going to start putting together that team again. He's already got Kyrie. He's arriving on a team. They're going to try to get Kevin Love. Look out. Then out of nowhere, the Golden State Warriors pop up, and they're not only a, you know, 1 year wonder. They're a legit solid franchise that will be in a thorn in your side for the next few years. And of course you have San Antonio doing whatever San Antonio does, and you're trying to just win one championship. And that summer when LeBron announced he was going back to Cleveland, if you had said, Tony, bet on the line, yes or no, is he going to get that title? I would have put everything I had on yes. It's like, of course LeBron's going to get a championship. If he wants it bad enough, he'll make sure everybody, he surrounds himself with the top players. And of course, I couldn't see the storm that was coming from Oakland. This team is phenomenally good, and they sort of popped up and became good almost overnight. Last year, they went out to a big start. Remember, the question was, how long is this going to last? Are they for real? Is this a real team? And they go on to win the championship. And this year, they just don't miss a beat. But back to this game tonight. Here's why this game, it's a regular season game. And if the players don't want to put a lot of emphasis on it, all right. But don't expect us to put a lot of emphasis on it. That's what we're, that will be the trade-off. So if you want to tell us it's just part one game and a part of a large part of the season, well, then I guess we as fans can start treating it the same way. But you know who didn't treat it that way? Golden State. They saw this as a legit regular season game that made a statement. Even if the statement could be controversial, like, well, does it really tell us much? Oh, does it? They didn't care. They put up 70 in the first half. And then just for good measure, added 34 in the third quarter. They destroyed this Cavaliers. I mean, they destroyed them. And they did it because these kind of games do matter. These kind of statements do matter. Now they know they can beat the Cleveland Cavaliers any shape, any form. And this is the thing. Part of the playoffs is confidence. And if you're Cleveland, how much confidence do you really have that in a seven-game series you're going to win four games against this team? And if you're Golden State, how confident are you that this Cleveland Cavaliers team will roll over at the first sign of adversity?
Well, and I mean, they were trying to say that this gave them motivation. They felt disrespected, you know, like they wanted to make a statement. Well, this is a statement they made. I mean, everyone's favorite person, Stephen A. Smith, said on Twitter before the game, he's like, there's no way Cleveland loses this game because of the disrespectful card that was played. Look what happened. I mean, I couldn't even imagine Cleveland winning a game against Golden State right now.
Exactly. And this is the other thing. I mean, I said this at the top of our show 2 hours ago. I've never seen LeBron be that pound the table kind of guy. I've never seen him do that. Okay. But home court, you're going to get smacked around like that. I mean, you are going to get a pants-whooping smackdown from Golden State. You're going to let that happen at Quicken Loans Arena? Oakland, I get. Your home in front of your crowd? This is like getting yelled at in front of your family. This is like when someone disrespects you in front of your kids. That crowd is your crowd. They're your support. And you let somebody come in and smack you around and do the whole Three Stooges things right in front of you, in front of them, and that's the fight you put up? It's embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. And again, I don't expect LeBron to give me kind of that Kobe stare. He's just not been that kind of player, so I can't expect that kind of personality out of him. He's just not that kind of guy. But it just was really shocking. All right, college basketball. Oklahoma went down in Ames. They were the new number one team in the nation. They lose to Iowa State, who the Cyclones really needed that victory. They looked like they were in some trouble. They got a great win tonight. That's a good Oklahoma team. But you know what? It's a good Big 12. That Big 12 conference tournament, I always ask this question. When we get down to about February, late February, we're starting to really close out the season. One of the questions I love to throw out is, you only got one ticket. You only got one place. You're picking a conference tournament. Where are you going? In the old days, it used to be the Big East at Madison Square Garden. See those kind of giants there back in the day of Georgetown, Syracuse, all that, UConn, all those teams. And then it started to become, of course, the ACC. Anytime you're going to get Duke, North Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest, all those teams like that, more watchable. But this Big 12 right now, how good is this conference? Oklahoma, Kansas, Iowa State, West Virginia, Texas when they get their act together. I mean, and look, Texas Tech is pretty good.
It's the best conference in the country.
It's great.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit is right.
Here's
Baylor.
A
I'm sorry, I forgot about
Baylor. Oh, yeah,
Baylor.
Jeez, they're really good.
Forgot about Baylor. They're ranked and good. So anytime you get a game like this and they say, you know, I don't even want to hear what's wrong with Oklahoma. There's nothing wrong with Oklahoma. I mean, they just went to Ames and lost like other teams will do. This was just a good night for the Big 12 because there's a little bit of parity here. in terms of some. There's a little bit. I mean, West Virginia is a good, good, good basketball team, a really good basketball team. And they beat Kansas and almost knocked off Oklahoma and Norman. It needed a buzzer beater, kind of a tip in to beat the Mountaineers. And Iowa State was heading into that. Ooh, you're ranked, but be careful. And this is a game they needed and got. I could do without the storming of the court. I'm old school. I'm sorry.
Don't do it. And then they did.
I'm getting old. I'm getting old. I mean, I'm not kidding. I hate to say this, but I'm turning into the get off my yard, you rotten kids. I'm turning into that guy. I see court storming now and I go, ugh, stop. But I know it's fun. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, so this is the one-year anniversary, or at least it was on the 18th. It was the one-year anniversary of Deflategate. It was the one-year anniversary of Bob Kravitz in Indianapolis making the tweet, sending the tweet out that the league was looking into the possible deflation of footballs in New England. And I bring this up because think about the trajectory of this story in the one calendar year that it's been in our lives. How many people thought this was the biggest deal on the planet because of who it involved, or how many people thought that this was a travesty and a thing the NFL should have never been involved in the first place? The trajectory of this story that was interjected for one calendar year is actually pretty remarkable when you think about it. We went to the Super Bowl with the cloud of cheating hovering over one football team and one individual in particular. We had an owner stand defiantly and demand an apology from a league that had yet to do anything but field an accusation to see if it was legit. That to me was the straw that broke the camel's back for me that one night. When Robert Kraft stood on that podium and demanded an apology, when at the time, the only thing the NFL was doing, was looking into a claim that was made by one of its members, the Indianapolis Colts, into whether or not there was deflation of footballs. And Robert Kraft demanded an apology when all there was is an investigation. And what did it lead to? It led to the suspension of the top player in the league for 4 games. It led to a bitter court battle between him and the league that ended up being a reinstatement. And then guess what? The thing that everybody, well, not everybody, I shouldn't say that because there were a lot of people like me who thought this was all silliness. But the one that a lot of people were saying, this is cheating. This man shouldn't be allowed in the league. This team should be penalized. There needs to be a sense of justice. The Colts were robbed, even though they got destroyed. That started to just go away. This was treated at one point by many people as the biggest crime ever committed in the history of sports. The fact that there may have been a deflation of air pressure in a football in an AFC title game. 1 year ago, on January 18th, you and I, Adam and I, were just sitting here one night when the tweet came out wondering if this was going to be something. It ended up being everything. I think it was the story of the year. And there were a lot of great stories of the year. A lot of great stories. I think it was one of the major stories of 2015 was how this was handled. I mean, it had everything. A cloud of cheating over a legacy. A court battle. A fan base that was rallying around itself when everybody was attacking it. Stand by Tom. We believe in Tom. I mean, that Patriot Nation wasn't budging at all. Columnists in that city calling this an embarrassment to the city and the franchise. It was over the possibility of deflation of footballs. Cell phones, whether or not he should give cell phones over to the league. When did he know? How did he know? What did he do? All of this, all of this made it out to be like it was the biggest crime in the league. And how did we react later when the game started? And this is the one thing I will say. I think the Patriots knew this whole time. If we can get the ruling and get Tom back in these games, people will forget about this. And they did. And for the most part, they did. And here was the other thing. It became fatigue through self-awareness. That's what this became. This thing had to be in the news. Okay? This thing had to be talked about. I love when people say, I am so sick and tired of hearing it. This was a major news. This was a star quarterback, a Super Bowl team. He was suspended and accused of cheating. An entire legacy hinged on whether or not he was going to sit out a game. I remember saying it all summer. He sits out 1 second for this thing. 1 second for this thing. You could make a legitimate claim that he cheated. That's why he fought. And because people went, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm too tired to deal with this anymore. That story went away. To every single person where this was the biggest deal on the planet, where they wanted this, the NFL to win in that courtroom, where they wanted the Patriots to be punished, you did not get the attention of this during the season because people didn't want to go there once the game started. And I think the Patriots knew that. I think the Patriots knew that. And I think the league knew it too. We had a wild ride in 1 year because we're sitting here and we've got the same guy and the same team in the same game coming up this weekend and no one is saying anything about it other than, oh, you know what? January 18th, that's the anniversary of Deflategate. As a guy who's covered sports for the last 20-something years, I have never seen a story like this that had so many angles to it, had so many interesting twists to it, had so many ramifications for it. Think about the teams that were affected because Tom Brady played. Think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example, who barely got into the playoffs, but had to play Tom Brady in week one instead of Jimmy Garoppolo. The healthy Pittsburgh Steelers had to play Tom Brady instead of Jimmy Garoppolo. Why? Because Richard Berman said he could play. Think about the division, the AFC East, that could have looked a little different for the New York Jets had Tom Brady been out four games instead of playing in those four games, which he won all four. Even if Garoppolo wins two, that could have shaped the division. It was an incredible story. But it's gone now. It's not coming back. If you bring it up, oh, that's old news. We're done with that. I have a friend of mine. She said, I don't think Tom Brady should be playing anymore. And I mean, people on Facebook went nuts. This went from justice, justice to, like a lot of things. It just runs out of steam. And who benefited? Who benefited from all this? Not the league, because the league still is wondering what exactly can the commissioner do in time of authority? How does he protect the integrity of the game if he can't suspend people who are in violation of that? And Ted Wells, do we trust anything he'll ever say again? That report was full of so many holes. I don't think I'd hire him to do any investigation. It was a interesting ride, to say the least. And guess what? That ride that we went on led us to the exact same place we are now. The Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots will play in the AFC title game, and the Patriots are looking to go to yet another Super Bowl. Crazy. 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907. All right, coming up, I got some media news I want to get to, including the NFL Network and their broadcast of Super Bowl I, and a voice that we just got to hear so very briefly in the world of golf has been silenced. A couple of media notes, more of your thoughts on the NFL, 800-777-2907, or hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 800-777-2907. Our question of the night tonight has been, are you having Manning fatigue? Maybe a little Brady fatigue? Because it's going to be hot and heavy as we get to Manning Brady 17. Some media notes. Did you remember on last week, I think we talked about this, but I couldn't remember, but pretend like we did. The NFL Network was going to rebroadcast Super Bowl I.
Yes.
Remember that? And it was going to be Friday night, and I was really excited for it. I was like, hey, you know what? I'm kind of into that stuff. I mean, I'm in the media biz. I wouldn't mind seeing I'm kind of like a Super Bowl historian. I like to learn. I watch all those NFL films clips and all that stuff. So I wouldn't mind seeing the original broadcast of Super Bowl I. I guess they cobbled some of the broadcast together from CBS and whatnot. So I was looking forward to it. So I taped it, and then I went out to dinner with the family and did some things and whatnot, and said, all right, I'm going to see what this was all about. So I turn it on, and instead of a Super Bowl, like a broadcast of the Super Bowl, it was broadcast, and then off to the side were the guys just sitting around talking about it. But none of them played in the game or were like, you know, or had any influence. They were just chatting about it. I was like, well, this is not what I signed up for. This is not why I wanted to watch this. I wanted to watch it to get that old feel, like to get the full game. Just kind of watch it as it was broadcast. So a lot of people complained about this. A lot of people complained about this, including ProFootballTalk.com. They did not like this at all. So they're going to re-air it the way it was originally designed, bringing you Super Bowl I. And so that is what I want to see. Because I like that old stuff, man. I don't mind. I always thought, you remember when ESPN Classic was on and they would show old games? I always thought if you had a major sporting event that you wanted to rebroadcast, like let's say you had you wanted to rebroadcast the big two, you know, maybe Super Bowl 17 or Super Bowl 13 or whatnot, is that find the companies that were sponsored back then and see if they would advertise on the rebroadcast with the same old commercials that they had back in the 70s. Like you could watch the old commercials. So you could watch the Super Bowl from like 1977 or 78 and see the Mean Joe Green Coca-Cola commercial. Or you could see, oh, I don't know, an old computer commercial where it's like, look at this big brick thing we've got on the desk for $50,000. Something along those lines. I always thought that would be cool to kind of reminisce about that. But I'm glad they're doing it because it's really interesting. And plus those old announcers, those guys, you know, back in the day. And look at Bart Starr run as he moves along to the right side and gets a first down for the Green Bay Packers. Oh, he looks mel. Great stuff. I love that old stuff. I mean, today you got to put up with Phil Simms and whatnot. But back then, man, you had old, real good announcers. Speaking of announcers, Greg Norman is not going to be broadcasting any more golf. So long. Apparently the crickets that he was producing during the U.S. Open broadcast were enough for management to go, that's enough, Greg. Thanks for playing. We're kind of done. You know what the straw was that kind of broke the camel's back on the Greg Norman thing? Was as Jordan Spieth made double bogey, apparently. Apparently, this is what I'm hearing. Jordan Spieth made double bogey on the 17th hole at the U.S. Open and kind of blew a lead. And I guess Greg Norman never talked about the moments in his majors where he blew a lead. And I guess that was enough for Fox. Oh, and Dustin Johnson three-putted the 18th with an eagle putt that would have won him the championship. Greg Norman was relatively silent. I love Greg Norman. I just did not like him on that broadcast. I didn't think Fox did a very good job on the golf anyway. It was kind of tough to watch because they were brand new at it and they were stumbling around and the graphics weren't that good and they didn't know the players and anything, all the little things that you would expect. But their lead analyst not sharing some insight into what the players may be going through, I think that's kind of the part of the job. Like, look at football, for example. People love to rail on Phil Simms because he doesn't say anything, like, really useful. But at least he says something. Like, can you imagine if Jim Nance was like, and that's a first down for the Patriots on that great throw by Tom Brady. Phil, what'd you see there? Well, Jim, didn't really see much. Back to you. Nance would go, that's kind of where I think Buck was during the golf broadcast. Like, Greg, you must have gone through this yourself, being a major champion. What is it like to win the title? Well, I tell you, Joe, it's cool. Ah, great, thanks. Back to Brad Faxon in our studio. No Greg Norman. I want Fox to do a better job. I like Fox. I do. But like Kurt Menefee was like, well, Jordan Spieth doesn't do anything great. And they're like, no, he does a lot of things great. But it was a little growing pains. It's a little growing pains. All right, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Speaking of Spieth, did you see his new house? Anybody bought Hunter Mahan's house?
Yes, he did.
$8 million.
Jeez.
That kid can't spend the money fast enough.
Live it up.
2 years ago, we didn't even know who this kid was.
Nope.
And now he's the number one golfer in the world, one of the richest paid athletes on the planet. It's crazy. An $8 million house. He must have got rid of the $2 million house he just bought a year ago. It's got a basketball court in it. Of course it does. Apparently, it's got a big room for a golf simulator. Now, why wouldn't you have one of those, too?
Yeah, I mean, all he needs to do is get better at golf.
Right. Keep working at it. 30 under par is not going to cut it at the Tournament of Champions. I couldn't shoot 30 under par in a video game, let alone real golf, with actual, wind. I can't do it in real golf.
You cut the holes in half and I can't get 30 under.
I mean, those big holes that I saw in real sports when Brian Gumbel was talking about the decline of the game. I couldn't knock those in. I couldn't shoot 30 under from that.
Mm-mm.
It's crazy. That is crazy. I think it's he just signed what a nine-figure deal with Coca-Cola.
Nine-figure deal. Yes.
Golly. Does he even drink Coca-Cola or who cares?
Probably not.
Right.
I know part of the deal is with Dasani water, so maybe he drinks that.
Maybe so. You got to give it to the NASCAR drivers. At least they drink Coca-Cola.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, the NASCAR drivers have been driving around for hours, and they're all in that hot car, and they're all dehydrated, and as soon as they get out, they're like, chug, 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 chug. Give me that Pepsi. Give me that Coke.
Well, if you ask people who don't know about NASCAR, it doesn't matter. Those guys just sit in cars and drive.
They can
drink whatever they want.
That's right. It's just the car is doing all the work.
Right, exactly. They're just pushing
holding on.
It's not like Fred Flintstone's out there pedaling the car.
Right. It's not like a Fred Flintstone car. Right. Yeah. My God. I drove a race car once. I got invited when I was covering races at the New Hampshire International Speedway back in my early days. They invited me to attend a media event, and they said, look, you're going to get to there was a race car driving school. It's like a Richard Petty thing, but it was done by somebody else. And they gave me free admission to attend for this day. So I was like, okay, cool. So I went and I showed up, and I did not know how to drive a stick shift back then. Like, I just did not know how to drive it. But a buddy of mine was like, don't worry about it. It's easy. Just hit the clutch and move it. No, it wasn't. When you haven't done it before, it wasn't. So the driver that was sitting in the car, he kind of had to help me shift the car. So I get the car up to like top speed around this track. And I'm not kidding. I'm driving like a grandmother around this racetrack. And the driver is like edging me on. He's like, no, go faster. You can go faster. I'm like, I don't want to go faster. I was going fast enough. So then we trade spots, right? So then he goes, all right, I'll drive, and now you sit in the driver in the passenger seat. He came off the corner, and he's on the edge of the wall, and I'm not kidding, I could have licked the wall. We were that close. I was petrified. I was like, you look like you're going right into the wall, and at the last minute, slingshot around the corner. Something I could never do in 1,000 tries.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, coming up on tomorrow's show, Chris Price, WEEI.com, will join us to talk about the Patriots. And then we'll also give you your weekly breakdown of the NBA. Josh Martin is from Bleacher Report will join us. Like Josh Martin, he always brings good stuff. When are we going to have Jessica Camerato on again? I like her.
I talked to her today. She was
Did you really?
Yesterday. She was unavailable. She was going to do tonight, but she was unavailable. So she's actually got a new gig. She's with CSN Philly, Comcast
really?
SportsNet Philly.
Look at her
covering the 76ers.
Yeah. Boo.
So I'm sure she's having a lot of fun.
Yes.
She said she's liking Philly a little bit. But,
probably looking for other things to like about it than
right,
the Sixers.
Yeah, not the Sixers. That's not the best, but so yeah, she'll be on here in probably in the next few weeks.
She came down from Boston.
Yes.
She was in Boston covering the Celtics for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So yeah, I got some questions about what's going on in the association. I want to find out if there's anybody in the West I should be paying attention to other than Golden State and San Antonio.
No, those are the only two teams you should pay attention to, period.
Yeah, that's it, right? Clippers, no?
No.
How are the Clippers still winning without Blake Griffin?
I don't know. They just went to overtime with Houston. They were up. I was sitting in here watching with the producer before me, and the Clippers were up, I think, by 13 or 14 with just a few minutes left. And then I look up, and it's a tie ball game, and they're going to overtime.
Dwight Howard had, what, 28 points, 24 rebounds?
Yeah.
Something along the line?
Yes, I think that was right.
Crazy. He had a 20-20. I know he had that, but I don't know the details.
But the Rockets, they're bad. I mean,
they're bad.
Half the time, they don't even want to play.
Dallas is not very good. No. Memphis is not very good.
They're all
good.
Just a bunch of middling teams. They're all, right. You know, they'll all fight for that 4, 5, 6 seed right in there.
Remember when the West was seven deep?
Yeah.
You couldn't, I mean, any of those teams could get to the NBA Finals and you wouldn't be all that surprised. Now it's like, it better be San Antonio, Golden State. I hope it is. If I'm Adam Silver, I mandate that the Western Conference Finals is Golden State, San Antonio.
You shouldn't even let those teams play to run the risk. Yeah,
exactly.
You just want those teams to be healthy playing each other.
This is the way it used to be in the NFC for a long time. Back in the day when the AFC could not muster up a fight in the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
It was like Dallas, San Francisco, right. Green Bay, San Francisco. I mean, it was these great NFC championship games that were so much better than the dredge Super Bowl that we were going to get. I mean, I tell people all the time, I was thinking about I was having a little fun today with a friend of mine about the Steelers, because we're both big Steeler fans. We've been around a while. And I kind of sent him a text message. I said, well, give me some of the worst Steeler playoff losses that we've experienced. And we both agreed that, you know, there were a couple that we absolutely agreed on. The Tebow loss was like top on the list. But the one that like we both agreed with was when the Steelers lost to San Diego. And I only bring this up because to this day, it was a game that I thought the Steelers should have won. And they played down to San Diego and should have never been in threat of that game. But the reality of it is what softens the blow of that loss was the winner was going to go play San Francisco and Steve Young and just get demolished. And that's exactly what the Chargers did.
Right.
I mean, they got absolutely smoked, just completely smoked. I think Steve Young threw like 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, 6 touchdowns, yep.
In the game. And so that softens the blow a little bit because I don't think the Steelers that year were good enough to beat, you know, San Francisco. I thought they could play with Dallas the next year in Super Bowl 30. But that's the way the NFC used to be. I mean, the NFC was the premier league, and the Super Bowl was just this blowout afterthought. And, like, you know, I used to say this about the NCAA tournament, and I still do. I like Cinderella, but in the end, give me the best Final Four I can possibly get. I really, really want the best. Because, how often am I going to see Arizona take on North Carolina, for crying out loud, in a meaningful game, mm-hmm. and not some exhibition in November when no one's paying attention? It's the same thing in with the Super Bowls. I love the little scrappy 6 seed getting, you know, all right, but in the end, if you lay an egg in the Super Bowl, that's not the best Super Bowl. I think the Bears Super Bowl 20 would have been a lot more fun had the Miami Dolphins been in that Super Bowl, the only team that had beaten them that year. Instead, they got the Patriots, who were well overmatched and had no ability to contain anything that the Bears were doing, couldn't score or couldn't move the ball effectively enough against that Bears defense, and didn't have a star quarterback like Dan Marino, like the Dolphins did. So when it comes to the Super Bowl, but we haven't always gotten that. We've gotten just these annihilations. And in the 80s, the big culprit that kind of brought to light a lot of this was John Elway and the Denver Broncos. They'd go to the Super Bowl and Phil Simms would play a near perfect game, and the Giants beat him up pretty good in Super Bowl 21. Then Doug Williams and the Redskins threw up 35 points in the second quarter and throttled them in Super Bowl 22. And then Super Bowl 24 in New Orleans, Joe Montana put up 55 on them. And it kind of set this trend of AFC teams kind of getting blown out in Super Bowls. And there were a couple of close ones. I mean, the Bills were in that close one against the Giants, but Super Bowl 27 against the Dallas Cowboys, they turned the ball over 9 times. So, I don't know. Going back to this game, and I think that's one of the reasons why I kind of, if push comes to shove, if I'm looking for the best game, Super Bowl Sunday, I'm probably leaning towards the Patriots and winning the AFC Championship. But I do have a soft spot in my heart for Denver. But if I get Peyton Manning who can't throw very well, and there's just going to be this whole, when is Brock Osweiler going to get in the game? Then I don't want that team in the Super Bowl. No matter how good their defense is. In the NFC, I think I could take either one. Either one would be fine. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number. Follow us on Twitter at Tony D Radio. And don't forget, like our Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show, where you can comment and know what we'll be doing in the coming week as we continue to break down the National Football League here on YSR.